Welcome to the Reformed Journal Podcast, the poetry edition, where we engage with the world of contemporary poetry from a generously reformed perspective. Find us at reformjournal.com. This is the poetry edition of the Reformed Journal Podcast. We come to you regularly to listen to a poet read a poem and talk about where the poem came from. I'm Rose Postma, and today our guest is Lynn Domina. Lynn is the author of several poetry collections, a collection of essays, and a book of devotional reflections. She is professor of English at Northern Michigan University and is creative writing editor of The Other Journal. Welcome, Lynn.
Thank you, Rose. It's great to be here.
Okay, so you have a poem for us. It's called The Lost Fragment. And there's some interesting things happening at the end that you'll talk about first. So yeah, take it away.
Okay. So the full title is Lost Fragment from an Interview with Her Maid. There are three words at the very end in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, and they all translate to the same English word, which is the very last word. So you'll hear that. Lost Fragment from an Interview with Her Maid. You ask me what I thought then. I thought what I think still, to keep custody of my eyes and lips. If my mistress wraps fig cakes in coarse cloth and packs them in a sack with leavened bread and passes the sack to me, I accept it. If she drains oil from a jug into a flask, if she chooses one skin of wine from among several, I accept it. I carry what she hands over. Trailing a step or two behind, I nod when she murmurs. No, I never complained of fatigue or hunger. Nor did she. One doesn't. When did I understand what she'd done? I knew when it was proper for me to know. Of course she was beautiful. Doesn't your story say so? Doesn't it describe the men's eyes? How they were enticed? You ask me what I thought, what I felt. You, with your language's fine distinctions between servant and slave. I thought I would carry her bag if she held it toward me. If not, I would not. Now you say my name remains unrecorded. So it is, Na'ara, Abra, Ansela, maid.
Thank you for reading that. And I just can't wait for you to tell me about this. I am so intrigued. So tell me about the poem. Where does it come from?
Okay, well, I have just finished writing a whole series of poems about the story of Judith and Holofernes in the apocryphal book of Judith. And this poem, it was the last poem I wrote. Though when I have arranged them into a group, it comes about four or five poems from the very end. And so I was inspired, of course, by the book of Judith and her slaying of the general Holofernes in order to save her own people. But I was also very much inspired by the mosaic work of a Canadian artist named Lillian Broca. And her work is just gorgeous. And I was lucky enough a few years ago to be able to drive over to Toronto, where all of the Judith mosaics were exhibited in one gallery. And so I spent the afternoon there, and I came home, and I was just so taken with them. So in this whole series, there are some poems about the art, there are several poems about the story, and then there are a few poems about being the viewer of the art. And so many of the poems about the story, probably about two-thirds to three-quarters center on Judith. And then there are a few that center on Holofernes. And then I realized there's another character there that I haven't even really considered, and that was the maid. And so that's when I wrote this poem.
Oh, I love that, and hearing sort of all the different pieces of how that all comes together as a, in sort of a greater work or greater sequence. So tell me about how this looks on the page. So what initially drew me to this poem was how it looks. Our readers will go read it, but it's longer, right? The lines are pretty long. It almost looks more prose poetry-ish than, you know, what we might typically think of a poem. So tell me about your choices with that or what you were thinking.
So in this whole series, one of the things I'm doing is trying to explore form. So even in the poems that are free verse, I'm playing around a lot with the types of lines and that sort of thing. And then within the whole series, I've written several poems in received forms. This is called a haibun, which is a Japanese form. It's the only one I've ever written.
Okay.
And what you do is you have a prose paragraph followed by a haiku. Now, this is not a traditional haiku in the sense of the syllable count exactly, but it adopts that form. So at the very end, we have the Hebrew, Greek, Latin, and then English words set off as and formatted as if they're a haiku. And so that's what I was doing with the form. And it did permit me, I think, to really focus on some of the word choices differently than I might have if this had been lineated in a more traditional poetic way.
Okay, so I should have noticed that it was a haibun. I didn't, so I love that. That's a great, I love finding those surprises, even, you know, if I should have known that. I feel like we covered that in one of my graduate school programs. But it's so fun to encounter that, you know, in real life. So when you're doing these lines, are you thinking about those line breaks or are you just sort of paragraphing? Does that make sense?
Right. In the paragraph, I was thinking, I was not thinking about the line breaks. I was thinking a lot about the sound.
Yeah.
Aside from the rhythm of the line. And so there's a lot going on with alliteration, with assonance and consonants and that sort of thing. And so I was really trying to create a music for the poem that was dependent on things aside from the rhythm of the line.
Yes. Oh, that's really helpful for me. I find that, putting some sort of those structures in there makes me always pay attention to other things.
Yeah, right.
And so that's really helpful. I'm going to maybe have to try this. I'm not guaranteeing anything because it's intimidating to me. So you talked about this being the third sort of character. What did that do for you when you started now looking at a different character in this story? How did that change for you, what you were working on?
Yeah, well, you know, you read the story and there's a clear protagonist, Judith, and a clear antagonist, Holofernes. And then there's the maid who's always accompanying Judith, but she's silent. And as the poem says, she's unnamed. And we don't get her perspective at all. I think we can imagine Holofernes' horror when he, at least in one of the poems I've written, he wakes up enough to know that what is about to happen. And we can imagine what Judith is thinking. We can even imagine, I think, to some extent, when she gets back home, what some of the townspeople are thinking. But because the maid is so silent in the story and the authors of the story don't give her a real role, it's easy to overlook her. And so when I started to write the poem, I thought she was going to come out being very kind of put off by the fact that she's so neglected. And that's not what happened. She says, I'm the maid, and that's what I am. And I don't think about whether it's just or unjust, right? And I think that's a very 21st century American perspective to think about class differences from the perspective of justice. And I'm not sure that people necessarily thought in the same way several millennia ago.
Yeah. Well, it's hitting a couple of my favorite things about poetry, you know, giving a voice to someone who maybe hasn't had a voice.
Yeah.
And also there's discovery, you know, you find out something as you write or as you read it. So, I love both of those aspects of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the surprise too, because, I just had to sit with her for a little while and then just, kind of hear what she might say.
Yeah, well, let's hear her say it one more time, if you don't mind reading it for us again.
Okay, thanks. Yeah. Lost fragment from an interview with her maid. You ask me what I thought then. I thought what I think still. to keep custody of my eyes and lips. If my mistress wraps fig cakes in coarse cloth and packs them in a sack with leavened bread and passes the sack to me, I accept it. If she drains oil from a jug into a flask, if she chooses one skin of wine from among several, I accept it. I carry what she hands over. Trailing a step or two behind, I nod when she murmurs. No, I never complained of fatigue or hunger, nor did she. One doesn't. When did I understand what she'd done? I knew when it was proper for me to know. Of course she was beautiful. Doesn't your story say so? Doesn't it describe the men's eyes, how they were enticed? You ask me what I thought, what I felt. You, with your language's fine distinctions between servant and slave. I thought I would carry her bag if she held it toward me. If not, I would not. Now you say my name remains unrecorded. So it is. Ha-ara, Abra, Ansela, maid.
Thank you so much for reading and talking today, Lynn.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been very much fun.
You can read Lost Fragment from an Interview with Her Maid by Lynn Domina at reformjournal.com. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks for listening to the Reform Journal podcast, the poetry edition. Be sure to subscribe and rate us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. And until the next time, explore all the great poetry on the Reform Journal website.